Hello, I'm Will Stein, and welcome to Geography Island Jams. This podcast is in the same style as the BBC Radio 4 Desert Island Disc series, whereby each episode I ask my interviewee what 8 songs, book, and luxury item they would want to take with them if they were stranded on a desert island. For rights reasons, the music has not been included in the podcast. You can find links to the 8 songs on the LSE Geography and Environment website. I hope you enjoy. Hello and welcome to Geography Island Jams. With me today, I have Sam Zak. Sam is a postgraduate student studying environment and development in the LSE Geography and Environment Department. Before coming to the LSE, Sam completed an undergraduate degree in history at the University of York and undertook a position in the Switzerland National Service. This year, Sam's been living in the LSE postgraduate halls, Butler's Wharf, but since the coronavirus outbreak, he has been living with his sister in Bethnal Green. Sam has a Swiss nationality as he was born and grew up in Geneva. Finally, not only has Sam endured the environment in his studies, but has done so physically, as last summer he completed the triathlon in under 3 hours. How far?
Wow. Okay.
So welcome, Sam. Was there any reading or any point which first made you wonder or set in stone that you definitely want to do environment and development? Or was it like just a gradual process?
I mean, kind of towards the tail end of my undergraduate degree, I kind of started thinking more and more about environmental issues, but it wasn't, that was kind of outside of my course, right? It was more like kind of some of the social stuff I was doing. And then, yeah, from, I don't know, it was kind of more of a gradual drift towards wanting to do something broadly to do with the environment. I guess there were a couple of aha moments, a couple of books that I read that really marked me. It made me kind of realize just, I don't know, some of the political dimensions of the problem. Because I remember like at the time, my mom would always mention, like, she'd always say, well, look, you know, it's too late for you to do anything with the environment because you haven't got any scientific background or anything like that. I'd always say, well, look, you know, like it's not a science is settled. That's not the issue here. The issue is totally political, right? So yeah, it was kind of a slow drift. I guess one book that I read that really inspired me was The Divide by Jason Hickel. I actually ended up doing a little bit of work for him on a voluntary basis as well. And yeah, I think a lot of the stuff he's been doing that's kind of like making the link between just the need for a new economic system in order to alleviate poverty, I found really interesting. And that kind of made me think that, yeah, that exploring the links between environment and development would be interesting for me. So yeah, slightly garbled answer. But.
Can you tell me what your first song is and why you've chosen it?
Okay, yeah, so my first song is Stir It Up by Bob Marley and the Wailers. And I've chosen it just because I felt like I had to pick a song by Bob Marley. Because, yeah, just as a kid, I remember listening to the Bob Marley Legend album for the first time and just loving it and just having it on repeat constantly to the point that my mom told me to shut up and stop playing it because she was sick of it. And, yeah, I just listened to so much reggae as a kid. And what I love about Bob Marley is just how everyone knows his music. Everyone loves his music. And he's such a symbol. They're just kind of for just bringing people together. I've personally never met someone who says that they can't stand Bob Marley. I hope I never will. So yeah, and I think it's just a brilliant track. And it's just so enjoyable to listen to. So yeah, I figured I had to have something by the great man.
Do you have a favorite experience at LSE so far?
Yeah, I feel a bit sheepish saying this because it was obviously something that happened during the lockdown and all the fun was over WhatsApp. But I did really enjoy the April Fool's prank that I played on my dear course mates, where I told them all that our exam for a political ecology exam basically had been moved online to Zoom, where it would be a closed exam and the teachers would be watching us over the internet. And if they saw us go off the screen at any moment, it would be an automatic fail because they just assume that we were cheating. And I just kind of pretended that I was putting together a whole petition to kind of stop them. And pretty much everyone, much to my amazement, fell for it en masse. I had to own up that it was an April Fool's fairly quickly, just because it felt like it was getting a bit out of hand. But overall, just, yeah, it was so much fun. I was laughing all day. So, yeah, maybe that.
Yeah, that was very savage, I must say. Yeah. Do you have any favorite places around the LSE?
I really like Shaw's Cafe, you know. I think it's banging. Like the vegetarian one, right by the new academic building. Yeah, I think George Bernard Shaw was a vegetarian or something. Yeah, I just think it's. I can't say I've eaten there loads. I was kind of more of a Hare Krishna kind of guy, but I feel like I've eaten enough Hare Krishna meals now to last me several lifetimes. but yeah, just really good foods and quite reasonably priced. So yeah, that's probably got to be up there.
Can you tell me about your second song and if there's any reasons why you've chosen it?
Sure. All right. So, yeah, we're staying with reggae. My second track is 5456 is my number by Toots and the Maytals. And that's, again, just like as a teenager, I listened to loads and loads of reggae. And I remember, like, really loving this song in particular, just because it's so high energy. It's so fun. And it's so crazy. It's really easy to rock out to. And, yeah, I would listen to it really often, like, on my way to school, just to give me a bit of a, just a bit of a kick. I guess it was before I drank coffee. I think Toots and the Maytals are brilliant, and I love this song, so.
Very fun. You're gonna have one reggae filled island.
there'll be a reggae corner. I promise it's not all reggae.
What was it like growing up in Geneva?
I think it's a fantastic place to grow up. It's really, really good. Everyone thinks that Switzerland is like kind of more of a winter place and skiing and all that, which is obviously a big part of it and is really, really lovely. But I've always felt that like Switzerland, Geneva especially, is just amazing in the summer because you've got the lake, and then you've got the river as well and the mountains. There's just so much you can do, and so. Yeah, just a lot of really fun memories of just a lot of mischief with my friends, a lot of hanging around at the lake and lots of really wonderful long hot summers. So yeah, a really great place to grow up overall. I was in an international school, which is a bit of a bubble in itself. But on the plus side, I met a lot of really nice people and was kind of just all my life just exposed to kind of a super international environment. It's kind of similar to the LSE in many ways. So that was a really wonderful thing.
Can you now tell me about your third song?
Yeah, sure. So my third song is quite different from reggae. So we're taking a bit of a turn. But also as a teenager, I listened to a lot of a band called Elbow, who were from Manchester. And I particularly love their album, The Seldom Seen Kid, which I think is really brilliant. But this track that I've picked is My Sad Captains. It's from a later album. And well, I figured I had to have a song by Elbow just because I think their music is really striking. It's really different. I remember just coming across the album and finding that it was, that music was so different to anything else I'd listened to. I really love the lead singer, Guy Garvey's vocals. I mean, I love the poetry they incorporate into their music. So in this particular track, it comes from a line from Shakespeare, I believe it's from Antony and Cleopatra. And it's basically about drinking with friends in public until the small hours of the morning, which definitely reminds me of my teenage years and a lot of the mischief I got up to with my friends. So yeah, I thought I'd include that.
Well, it's clear you're a bit of a prankster after your is there anything you did as a kid which you particularly remember like that, like any pranks or like the worst thing you did as a kid, anything which really stands out to you?
The one thing that springs to mind, it wasn't something naughty. I mean, looking back, I was quite proud of it. So like basically in primary school, we weren't allowed to, or middle school rather, we're a bit older, we weren't allowed to play football during like the recess in the morning, just because there'd be loads and loads of people milling around at the pitch and it would just be a complete free-for-all. And it would just end up with kids getting footballs in the faces, which happened anyway. So I remember we would always play football regardless of whether we were allowed to or not. And we'd always like have our ball confiscated. And then we get another ball and keep playing. And at one point they were like, okay, they've had enough. And they were going to put, they said, it was five or six of us who were playing. And they said, you guys are going to go to detention and see the principal. But then they also said, we know it's not just you guys, so we want you to bring anyone else who was playing as well. And then, you know, you're going to get a dressing down from the principal. So we got organized and we got all the boys in the grades, which was about like 100 little boys. And we all went into his office there were so many people, like, I mean, we all got chairs because we were like the ones who were responsible, but there were so many people, it was kind of overflowing and they were coming out into the foyer. And as a result of that, because there were so many of us, they couldn't really punish us. So yeah, that's the first thing that springs to mind. It was quite cheeky because most of the boys that were there didn't actually play football, but we just figured they couldn't punish all of us.
And can you now tell me about your fourth song?
Yeah, so my fourth song is a song called Merrimacka by a band called Thievery Corporation, who I love, just because I think they're an incredibly talented set of musicians. I mean, it's two guys and they kind of do broadly electro music, but they do a lot of collaborations. And so it'll be music that'll be like kind of Caribbean inspired and then Latin American inspired. And even like they'll do a lot of collaborations with like French singers. So their albums are just a huge musical odyssey. And there's a particular singer called Notch who I think has got an incredible voice. So this track is super relaxed. It's kind of like the perfect coffee shop song. And yeah, it's just really, really relaxing and really beautiful to listen to. So I figured I'd include it.
Very nice. Can you tell me more about the triathlon, like where it was, what made you want to do it?
Yeah, sure. I'm quite into cycling and swimming ordinarily. I'm not very good at running. I don't know, just like with a friend of mine, we figured that we were going to sign up and do it. And so I thought we weren't going to do it actually, because originally it was going to be a group of four of us and then two of us dropped out. And I just assumed it was off the cards. And then like my friend said, no, like I thought we were going to do it. I've been training and everything. So at like 2 weeks notice, I committed to this triathlon in my head. Then it was in Yverdon, which is like a town about 2 hours away from Geneva. So we drove there. But like in the days leading up to the triathlon, they were just announcing just terrible weather. And I can't remember what it was. I think I was traveling. I was doing something of reasonable importance a couple of days after the triathlon. So I was really worried about getting sick. And I was quite nervous about swimming in the rain. So I said to him, look, if it's raining, I'm not doing it. I'll come with you and I'll watch you do it, but I'm not going to do it myself. And so the whole time, like they were announcing just awful weather the whole time. And then the day of the triathlon, I woke up and I checked the weather forecast and it was clear. So we did it. And overall, the weather was awesome. During the swim and the cycle, it was totally fine. And then kind of eventually we got to the run. The run was the hardest part for me because I've got a bit of a dodgy knee. I'm not very good at running. And it was 4 2.5 kilometer circuits. And then halfway through, the heavens opened. Like what felt like a biblical storm just came down. It was just super, super intense. And I remember doing the last 5 kilometers completely soaked and having a fairly difficult time of it, but just being really determined to get over the line. And yeah, it felt really good finally crossing the line, just like in the rain. It felt pretty dramatic, but it was a really fun experience. So yeah, definitely do one again. Maybe not in the rain.
Can you now tell me about your fifth song and any reasons why you've chosen it?
Yeah, absolutely. So my fifth song is Baltimore by Nina Simone. And I have to confess, I don't know a huge amount about Nina Simone, but I just think this is a brilliant, fantastic song. It ties in. It feels like, I don't know a huge amount about music, but it feels like it ties in lots of different genres together. I find the lyrics very, very poetic and like the imagery they use in it really striking. I've got fond memories of it as well. I remember hearing it for the first time when I was visiting my friend who was working in Sarajevo at the time. It just came on shuffle. I was just so blown away by it. And also it makes me think of that TV show, The Wire, which I think is just absolutely brilliant television. It's kind of like a 5 or 6 season exploration of the drug problem in Baltimore from like all the different angles. And I've heard it described as being like a novel in TV form, which I think is pretty accurate. And I have fond memories of that as well, because I watched it over the course of my undergrad with one of my flatmates and just really, really loved it. It was brilliant escapism. So for many different reasons, this song is, I find it very moving and evokes a lot of different things for me. So I figured it would have to come with me into the desert islands.
So what does a job in the Swiss National Service entail, and what is it that you did in it?
So by way of context, in Switzerland, like a handful of other countries in the world, we've got mandatory military service. But thankfully, we've kind of got they've kind of relaxed the rules about it, and they've created a civilian service for conscientious objectors, which is under threat because the Swiss right hate it and they want everyone to do the army. But anyway, so it's really easy to just pass into it. You just say that you've got a moral objection to serving in the army. And there's a real range of things you can do. So
what is it you did?
So for the first month, I worked in a kitchen in an old people's home, which was an interesting experience. That was just because I wanted to start getting some days under my belt. It was kind of fun. The first 2 weeks, we had a chef that was really, really super relaxed. So we'd knock off work like 3 hours early. There'd be apéros after like every shift. And in the last 2 weeks, a new chef came in who just kind of like took us all by the scruff of our necks and said, like, I'm going to turn you all into an elite cooking force. So the last 2 weeks were a lot more, it's a lot harder. And then for 7 months I was working, after that, my second posting was working in a home for kids from troubled backgrounds. So yeah, I was kind of in charge of the maintenance because like the home was this like gorgeous mansion right on Lake Geneva with a huge garden. So I was doing that. And then also like just playing with the kids and doing activities with them, taking them to like dentist appointments and that kind of thing. Yeah, that was a really wonderful experience. I got so much out of it, actually, because my colleagues were just brilliant people. And just watching them around the kids and watching them handle pretty difficult situations, I learned a lot from them. And yeah, it was just a really fun, really nice thing to do.
Now, can you tell me about the sixth song you'll be taking with you?
Yeah. It's a track called Je Te Kiffe by Amadou et Myriam. So it's a track by a Malian couple who are actually both blind. And apparently they met in a sanctuary for blind people. And they fell in love there. And then they went on to collaborate and become world-famous musicians. And yeah, I just included it because as a kid growing up, there was a lot of African music going on in the house. So I figured I wanted one kind of track just to kind of speak to that aspect of my childhood. It's also a great song. And they're a great band. So yeah.
As a child, do you have any ambitions for when you grew up, and are they the same as your ambitions now?
When I was like 4 or 5, I wanted to be a dolphin. Sadly, that hasn't really worked out. And we went to like a dolphin show or something. I was asked afterwards, what do you want to be when you grow up? And they were expecting me to say a dolphin trainer. And I said, no, a dolphin. So I don't know, maybe in another life. And then as up until I was like 21, I really wanted to be an actor as well. I really wanted to work in theater. But just for a variety of reasons, I kind of moved away from that and found that I was actually interested in the environment and climate change and all aspects of sustainability. So yeah, I'd say, yeah, my ambitions since being a child and then later a young man have definitely changed.
If you're having a bad day, is there anything you do especially to make yourself feel better?
Yeah, I go swimming, definitely. It's super nice. It's such a relaxing sport. It's so calming. You always feel good afterwards. Like other sports, like if you play football afterwards, I always feel like a bit beaten up and just sore all over. But it's never the case for swimming because it just kind of works all your body. Just like the whole experience of just going to the pool and just everything. It's so calming and it's a good workout. So yeah, just definitely if I'm having a bit of a rough day, going swimming is just definitely the best thing.
Can you now tell me about song number 7?
Yeah, sure. So it's a bit of a long story with this song, but song number 7 is a song called Hope by a band called Fat Freddy's Drop. As I kind of touched on before, when from a teenager right up until I was about like 21, 22, something like that, I wanted to be a professional actor. I really wanted to work in theater. So I tried to do my own show, which is pretty ambitious. I was inspired by a film called Human, which is like based on just interviews of loads of different people from all around the world. And so it was kind of a devised piece. I did a whole bunch of interviews with young people about their views of the world, their concerns of the future. And like a major theme that kept coming up throughout just my interviews and the devising process was the environment. And it just made me realize that there was so much I didn't know about just environmental issues, about climate change. And just by doing this kind of show, it just kind of helped me reassess what I wanted to do. And it kind of reoriented me away from theater towards kind of wanting to do something to do with climate change and just tackling these really big issues. So it was a whole show that took a lot of time. It was a lot of work. I don't want to pretend it was the greatest piece of theater the world has ever seen, but it was a really enriching experience to me personally. I was really grateful for the people that kind of like joined me in and like put their trust in me for the whole kind of process. And yeah, like I found it a really enriching experience. And so I've included, this is the track that we used to finish the show. I find it a really kind of beautiful, moving song. I love the band Fat Freddy's Drop. I love the lead singer, Joe Dukey, and he's got a fantastic voice. And in many ways, just like the one very, very distinct lyric in it kind of just sums up, I guess, like a lot of the way that I feel about climate change a lot of the time, on climate, just whether we're going to resolve this big fundamental pressing issue that is the defining issue of our time. I know a lot of other people feel that way as well. So yeah, I figured it's something that I had to include.
Do you have a favorite part of being at the London School of Economics?
I've just met some really wonderful people. I think it is very international. I mean, it's a bit of a minefield. There's definitely ways in which it could be more diverse, but certainly compared to my undergrad days, it definitely feels like there's a real mix of people that I've been learning alongside people from coming from a whole range of different experiences. And so I thought that was something that I found really, really positive and enriching. And just where we're located, right? Right. Bank smack in the center of London is that's been really, really nice as well. I live in about lived in Butler's Wharf. And so like just my cycle into the LSE every day was super nice. Yeah, I got onto the Boris bike scheme, and it's been super, super good.
Can you now tell me about your eighth and final song you'll be taking with you on your Geography Island?
Yeah, so my last song is a song that I think pretty much everyone listening to this will know. It's Get Lucky by Daft Punk. And I've picked this because I think it's a fantastic song that makes everyone want to get up and dance. And it's, generally speaking, I don't really like pop music by and large. But I think this is a fantastic song. And I think it's a fantastic album. I think Random Access Memories is just brilliant. It's such a mix. It's so brave and crazy and creative. And I think it's the perfect album for a road trip as well. So yeah, Get Lucky by Daft Punk, my last track.
So on the Geography Island, you are allowed to bring with you the Bible, the beverage report, and a book of your choice.
Oh man, the beverage report, that'll be fun. All right.
Of course. Do you have a book which you'd want to take with you?
Yeah, my book would be Catch 22 by Joseph Heller. I don't know if you're aware of it at all, but it's basically a satire of war. It's it was written during the Vietnam War, I believe, and it's about American pilots based off of Italy during the Second World War. And it's all about the crazy kind of schemes that the main character tries to do to try to get out of flying these really crazy, insane missions. And I picked it just because I think it's brilliant. I think it touches on some really deep, profound kind of themes, really, really strong satire of war, and it's just so damn funny. Like, there's a laugh on every single page. It's got a really, really bold, crazy narration that really plays with like chronology in lots of different funky ways. So you'll have like one sentence will start in one particular context, then it'll finish like 2 weeks later or whatever. And it takes a while to get used to. Once you do, it's so much fun. And it's one of those books I can crack open to any chapter and really enjoy it. So yeah, I think it would keep me amused on my desert island.
And what about your luxury item?
Okay, well, this might be slightly contentious, but my first one that I would like to bring, if possible, would be Match of the Day, or if not, at the very least, a means of watching the World Cup and European Championships. I don't know if that's allowed, though, because it might involve a television.
So, yeah, there's rules against bringing things which give you external contact.
Okay, in which case, plan B is a Swiss Army knife, just as a nod to my roots. And they're always handy. I mean, it takes a while to like physically open up the particular thing that you want, but I mean, it would be useful. So.
Fab. Well, thank you very much for telling us about your Geography Island jams. It's been a pleasure.
It has been awesome. Yeah. Thanks a lot, Will.